Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Brian Levin, director of the Center for the Study of Hate and Extremism at California State University, San Bernardino. Brian, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, thanks a lot for having me on. You know, I've done WWL going back decades, which I don't like to say because that tells you how old I am.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Do you remember who you spoke to, the first person?
Oh, gosh. There was a fellow who I dealt with during the day, but there was also overnight shows that I did that were just wild and a lot of fun. I got sent cassettes of them. That's how old they are.
That's
how far I go back with WWE.
Email us. I would like to know who you spoke to. Bob Ruby. Does that name ring a bell? Bob Ruby?
You know what? I think that was him.
There you go. Anyway, Brian, let's get to the subject at hand. And I guess in relation to what happened yesterday, and we've been talking about it all morning, why are people so angry? Why do people hate so much? Why do they go to the extremes and not try to find a common ground in the middle?
Thank you. And first, let me just say so to someone who was just in New Orleans not too long ago. Our hearts and prayers are with Congressman Scalise and the other victims of this horrible atrocity. That's the first thing.
Sure.
But, you know, yeah, there's a lot of anger out there, and I think you hit on something. We have seen, I think, an unraveling of what the sociologists, and I try to stay away from sociologists as much as I can, and the Europeans call civic or civil cohesion. And that is, you know, these institutions, values, and processes which bind us together. And we've become so outcome-oriented and distrustful and talking to each other in our own echo chambers that we've really become frayed. Let's look at, like, one
stat. Wait, we've really become frayed, you said?
Frayed, yeah. Let's look at one stat. Trust in the federal government around the time I was born 50-some-odd years ago was 77%. It's now under 20%. And you can throw in Congress, you can throw in academia, the news media, the financial markets, even science, as having now a tinge of distrust. And what we've seen is with social media and the internet, conspiracy theories and other types of opinions have taken over as people can now amplify their anger rather than try and see whether or not every point of it is rational.
I believe, Brian, research shows people, rather than wanting to be challenged on their beliefs, seek out the media source that agrees with their beliefs. And I think the problem is, and that's why I have a hard time talking facts in the morning, because nobody believes it. If you cite a fact from the government, they think it's phony, and then they go online and perhaps find a blog that confirms what they already think, and a blog is just something that somebody wrote and posted. So I don't know how people determine what they believe and if that's got any part in this at all, where things are believed that aren't true, and that fuels the anger.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. And you know, the thing that I, like, can't stand, getting stuck in is folks try to point to one side of the political spectrum or the other with respect to this. And certainly, you know, when you have kids, you know, when one does something wrong, you go, okay, don't do that. That doesn't mean the other kid's doing something wrong at the same time.
Well, I only have one, so. But I understand what you're saying.
Well, you're smarter than I am.
Well, maybe. Still don't have any more money, Brian, just so you know.
I thought these media folks were rolling hand.
No, I'm just saying, with kids, you spend the same amount. It's just everybody gets a smaller share if you have more.
There you go, and I love both of mine to death. So,
yeah.
But in any event, event, the thing that I worry about is the elevation of this conspiracy theory stuff, the lack of active listening, and demonizing of folks on the other side. And let me just say, like, it exists on both sides. So, for instance, there are some hard places on the right, particularly in certain parts of the media, that we really don't get a full and fair kind of a conversation. But I'll tell you who else is guilty, and I'm talking against my own book now, academia. We do not have the kind of critical thinking and approach, particularly with regard to conservative ideas. And I'm not someone who's an active conservative, but I invite folks who are conservative to speak to my classes, including a dear friend of mine who's an evangelical pastor, just so when we're analyzing things, for instance, in my criminal law class, we start out and we say, should the law be more concerned with morality or social order? Hey, let's get in a conservative person of goodwill to say what his perspective is on morality. It might be different from what my students are, and then I'll get somebody else. And, you know, as long as people are kind, they'll talk with you. Not all of them. I go to some of these rallies, you know, to interview folks. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting. There are different cohorts. There are folks that I call the conflictual ones, and they just want to push you and jostle you. Then there are the folks that I call the street preachers, and I don't mean that with regard to religion. I just mean, you know, they just kind of want to talk at you. And then there are the people that want to engage, and it's really interesting. So when I went to a rally this weekend in San Bernardino, which was the largest one that they had in the country.
A rally for what, Brian?
Well, there was an anti-Sharia rally, and then there were folks that were more conflictual on the other side that were protesting right across the street. And then,
and just to remind people, San Bernardino was where, I guess it was a Christmas party where the couple shot some people?
It was the worst terrorist attack in the United States post 9/11 to that time,
okay,
in December 2015.
Right.
And what's so interesting is, on both sides, you could see, like, the hard ones who just wanted to beat up the other side.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. That's what they were about. But there were people who wanted to engage. And what was so interesting, when I spoke to some of these folks, for instance, on the anti-Sharia side, I said, I didn't, like, confront them. I said, hey, I'm Brian from Cal State. Just wanted to ask you why you're here. And they'd say, you know, we're here against Sharia. And I'd say, well, we have the First Amendment. And they're like, no, there's Sharia law in four states. I said, what states are they? They said, well, I don't know. I'll get back to you. And then somebody else said, no, there's something going on in San Diego where they have no-go zones, and the Muslims are taking over, and they're making everything Muslim compliant. And when he looked up what he was talking about, it was anti-bullying against Muslim students. That was it.
Well, Dearborn, Michigan, too. I get that a lot.
Another thing. Dearborn, yeah. Stay out of Dearborn. It's run by who knows. But that's the kind of stuff, and what it does is it cements people into their positions as opposed to having active dialogue about, you know, things that we should talk about, which includes, you know, maybe we should criticize different aspects of how religion is manifested, you know, of all stripes. But one thing, I've been doing this stuff for more years than I care to say, let's say 3 decades. At various times, different types of extremism bubble up from different places on the ideological spectrum. And one of the things that we're watching is not only the hard right, which has gotten a lot of press, but the hard left. And that's bubbling up. It's not quite the same as far as its intensity and its breadth, but we've had in California 21 violent political public confrontations since December 2015. So it's something that we're actually looking at, and I'm talking to government officials about.
Got a couple of quick questions before we let you go. Has it gotten worse in the time that you've been doing this, and what history shows, or is it cyclical, where it gets bad, then it gets better, it gets bad, then it gets better?
It's worse now in this regard. We have the most diversified threat matrix that we've had in my professional career.
I know that means something to you, but what does it mean for us? What did you say? A threat matrix? A diversified threat matrix?
It means it's like the Indianapolis 500. We have a lot of cars jockeying for the front position with regard to extremism.
Okay.
But the other thing that I would say is, if you look back to the 70s, in the early 70s, we had bombings after, but we were averaging about 5 bombings a day. We're not there, but we have something that's different now, and that is what I think is the institutionalization of this kind of camp that is much more, much wider. And 40% plus of Americans hold prejudiced views against Muslims, for instance. But on the left, we have now seen the coalescence, for instance, of an equal type of bigotry that wants to shut down conservatives and wants to violently confront these issues, as opposed to working through the institutions and processes of our civilized democracy. And that's what's happened in Virginia yesterday. And our prayers are with Congressman Scalise and the others who were struck down.
Thank you, Brian. It was a pleasure. And I hope you remember my name, and I hope you come back with us.
Thank you so much. And give my regards to all my friends in the Crescent City.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.